That's no moon.
Hello there, and welcome to That's No Moon, episode 39. My name is Cockles, I'm your host, and I'm here with no Andy, because we believe he's meeting up with his Canadian dog importer. He's picking up Timbo from the airport, basically. But, I mean, they have bigger dogs in Canada, so who knows. Also, old Ski Sunday himself. Yeah, Tom couldn't be with us either, he's off skiing, I think. Isn't that right, Ollie?
Yes, yeah, he's 100% skiing, that's why he couldn't be here.
Yeah, that's cool. So instead, with the absence, and obviously Jack is busy protecting Lincolnshire from floods. So instead of the usual crowd, we've got some two extra guests, plus other guests. The guests even have guests to talk about something special that's been going on. But first, I'll introduce the man, the myth, the legend, who I've updated a little bit of a theme tune because I was bored and I thought I'll put some more music into it. So Ollie, yours is nice and short and simple, but if you know it, you know it. If you don't, well, where have you been? Yeah, that'll do. But anyway, that's the Champions League theme tune. I thought it'd be quite nice for a change of pace. It's Oliver Dyer. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, mate. You?
Not bad, thank you, my friend. Not bad. I don't get to do my intro, you see, because I do my own intro. So I was thinking about what I could do for myself. And based on what... I just thinking about what karaoke songs I've done in the past for the show. So I've just gone with this.
Let's go, girls.
So I just went with that, and I thought that would be me for a little while, but that's all good.
Why wouldn't you go for the theme song of whatever Nigel Thornberry's in?
I don't even know what Nigel Thornberry.
You don't know what Nigel Thornberry is?
No. Why would I know?
Because I imagine every time you look in the mirror, you see him.
If I knew who he was, maybe.
Google right now Nigel Thornberry.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Oh, Nigel Thornberry. for those of you who don't know, they just had a little technical issue there. I have no idea why. But yeah, Nigel Thornberry. Yeah, okay. The one I get for me that I look like is a bloke called Guy Garvey, who's the lead singer of Elbow. That's my one. I'm sticking to it.
The one that I really, really think you look like is that guy who drinks 50 pints of Guinness.
Oh, I know what you mean. Thanks, friend. Thanks, Chris Moyles. Moving on.
I'll take it. That man's minted.
Anyway, moving on. Ollie, which introduction would you like me to do next? The one that's amazing or the one that's funny?
Ooh. Well, I'm assuming the funny one. Yeah, we'll go funny.
Right, funny one. So, what the hell? I've got a boy racer outside my window. There we go. Anyway, the funny one. So this guest brought guests. So I'm going to ask his guests to introduce him. So, Aria, who have we got today?
Dad, aka Jeff.
Who else? And then who else have we got? Maya?
Naya.
Maya.
Maya. So tell me a fun fact about your dad.
He plays Star Wars Legion.
And he has a lot of dad jokes.
That's funny that. He's got a lot of dad jokes. Do you know what he also has? He has an introduction sung by someone who is not quite from Runcorn, but someone who is nearly Runcorn, and it's this. That's You Can Make Me Whole Again by Atomic Kitten featuring Kerry Katona, and Kerry Katona is vaguely nearly from Runcorn. I think she's from Warrington, and that's the best I can get for a musical reference near where Jeff Porritt lives. How are you doing, Jeff?
I'm very well, thanks, mate. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Good, thank you. Can you give me an example of a dad joke right now on the spot?
No.
Okay. Final question for your girls then, before they toddle off, which would be, girls, what is Daddy good at Star Wars Legion? Do you know? Is your dad any good?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, Ollie. Anyone who gets beaten by me, are they any good?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. you've ruined the little joke there. Okay, thanks, mate. Cheers.
Shame. I've lost to you, and obviously I'm pretty good.
Oh, Christ, of course you have. Yeah, well, never mind. Damn, oh, that ruined the joke. Oh, never mind. I'm one to go against Mr. Podfrey, but there we go. Someone who I'm 0-1 against, though, is up next, who, and I'm not joking on this introduction, might have produced the best, and I've said it before, the most entertaining section of karaoke that I've ever seen in my life. And I'm pretty sure many people agree, because every time I think back on it, I go, yep. And I've not only seen this once, but twice. Here he is.
How'd you do, I? See, you've met my faithful handyman. He's just a little brought down, because when you knocked, he thought you were the candy man.
What's hilarious is that he's mouthing the words as the words go up on that song. This is Elliot Thomas, who is that sweet transvestite karaoke that he did in Daventry and in Chicago, lives in my head forever as a happy place. Elliot Thomas from London, how are you doing?
Hello, darling. I'm very good. How are you?
Hello, darling. I'm very well, thank you all. Very well. Other than technical issues and boy racers who've clearly got potatoes in their exhaust pipes outside my window, it's all good.
Yeah, it's all good.
It's all good.
I'm encouraging you've got worse boy racers.
Oh, yeah, you would. Yeah, I did my training down there when I went for work. I spent about 12 weeks down there, so, yep, familiar with that. Elliot and Jeff, you're here for a special reason, which we'll come over in a wee bit. Girls, before you nip off, is there anything you'd like to say to maybe embarrass your dad, which would be quite handy? But no, if you don't have to. I mean, I put you on the spot, so it's fair enough, but... If you can think of something later, and next time we get your dad on, we'll do that. How's that? Cool. We'll do that next time. Jeff, have you got anything embarrassing to say about your girl? Really, oh, go on. What's that?
He used to have really long hair up to his butt.
Sorry, he used to have really long hair up to his butt. I need to see pictures of this now. That might be the cover art for the show. Who knows? That's cool. Jeff, would you like to embarrass your daughters before they depart? Anything you want to say?
Oh, there's so many things. they're massive Eurovision fans. And what's even more, they're massive fans of the podcast because they insist I play it in the car.
Oh, wonderful. Well, there we are. Now you get to see what Ollie looks like.
Yeah,
and I look
definitely
like.
Insist. It's just, he definitely doesn't play it randomly in the car.
Does he do it on purpose? Just like, he's like, no, I'm gonna get you some voices here. This guy, and Andy. He doesn't eat dogs, really, although does he? Who knows? We've got evidence to say that he does. In form of Ollie.
Have you checked that Jeff is actually paying for 3 Patreon subscriptions?
Oh, I need to go in the account. Yeah, I need to go in the accounts. That would make sense.
Sorry, we'll claim it off him at UK Games form of Jaegerbomb.
Yes, exactly. moving on though, but first things first, we have to say thank you to our faithful following of Patreon supporters, of which we have on the show regularly now. So thanks go out to them, because it enables us to be able to do the content that we produce in the audio format of the podcast, as well as the videos, of which I'll tell a little bit more about the videos that we've got coming up later on. In the meantime, today's show is going to feature... I don't think it'll be a long one, because next week we're going to do another one, so you get like a bonus episode. So this week is going to be literally... why Jeff and Elliot are here. I won't do spoilers. We'll do some upcoming events, of which there's a pretty big one this weekend. If you're listening prior to UKGE, that's one there. And we'll talk about what we expect to see at UKGE, having had things like Inquisitors Land. Do we think there'll be a thing? Who knows? We can talk about a couple of lists that we think might be the prevalent popular thing that goes on. But moving on. You might have heard me pipe up a couple of times about something called legionevents.app. And the reason that Elliot and Jeff are here is because they're much, much, much cleverer than me, and they made it. So they're going to talk about it, because it's, as I said on the last show, it's gone global, baby. So I'm going to let them unmute themselves, and they can talk about it. I'll let Elliot start, and then Jeff, you pipe in when you need to do that. And girls, I mean, if you know anything about it, feel free, but I feel like that's your dad's jam. But Elliot, take it away, mate. What have you got going on? Tell us about Legion Events app, please.
Yeah. Well, Legion Events app is our That Snow Moon sponsored site for anyone and everyone around the world to find their next Legion game, their next tournament. I think there is maybe at least one casual league that's on there, and lots more tournaments added by the day. Jeff kind of started the whole process way back when with the UK Facebook page. So, Jeff, do you want to kind of go the background of a little bit of your input on the tournament scene?
Yeah, sure. So I haven't got a massive Star Wars Legion scene near where I live. So a lot of the times I was playing was down at tournaments. And this is sort of pre-COVID times when I was trying to find events on Facebook. And the Facebook search is absolutely rubbish. You can search for today, tomorrow, this weekend, or any time in the future or the past. You can search in the city I live in or anywhere in the world. And that just got so difficult to find events. And I thought, well, if I can do the hard work and find the events, I can post it on a Google Calendar and share it with people. And so that's how it started. But I always knew that we wanted to take it a bit further. But my technical skills won't let me do that. So I had this grand vision of what I wanted this to end up as, which is combining the power of a Google Calendar with the power of Google Maps and being able to search using a very intuitive interface. And then it was probably, I want to say Daventry.
Yeah, because I'd had kind of that idea independently as well, and it was kind of we ended up at Daventry. Actually, it was karaoke.
It was the karaoke in the pub, Daventry.
We're sitting in the sort of bay window of the pub, in between karaoke, and just kind of chatting about it. And I'd done a proof of concept because I'm a software engineer by trade, and you do side projects. You keep. You know, flex your muscles every now and again. And I wanted to just plot the calendar as I saw it. And I was like, oh, I'll show this to Jeff, see what he thought about it. And it kind of became that thing from there, where we just went, oh, independently come to the same idea. Wouldn't it be great if we could actually build this out and have it automated? And the problem is that Jeff knows how to run a project, which means that he comes back to me with a big roadmap and is like, okay, here are all the features I want you to add. And so we kind of just been operating off of that for the past almost a year now, I think.
Yeah, it will be. So we broke it down into sort of what the history was, where we got to, and then as with any good roadmap, it was split into different phases, and we're about halfway through those phases now. So the latest development was to, rather than us putting the events onto the Google Calendar manually, to open it up and allow individual event organizers to populate a Google form, and that will fire off an event to us. We can just do a quick moderation, make sure that there's no swear words in the title and things like that. And it goes into the Google Calendar to be shared. So that's the really major change that we've launched this month. Because, like I say, prior to that, it was all sort of manual entry for a couple of handfuls of people.
Yeah, and the big coordination with this is LVO doing an invitational format, and so there was a big drive to make sure, hey, how do we know? Or how do people in the community know which events are LVO invitational sort of qualifiers? And through some online chats with those guys, it was like, hey, it would be great if they could use this resource. And what that fundamentally came down to was us removing a lot of the UK and Europe branding from Jeff's calendar and from the site, and then and getting a generic form entry in. So I think have got a solid 30 or 40 US events on the map now, and since we've put out for general people to throw in their event ads. We've had submissions for Gen Con, we've had Atlantic City Open, and we've had France's first and so far only GT all come on in the past few days since we've launched. So lots of traction so far, which is really nice. And the only thing we've had to really sacrifice is removing time zones, because anyone who's a software engineer will know that time zones are the bane of your existence.
I'm going to just nod my head and go, yes, if you say so. So if you're a TO and you weren't sure how to get your name on a map, how does one go about this?
So on the legionevents.app website, www.legionevents.app, at the foot of there is a little icon with what looks like a standard sort of calendar with a plus. Click on there, the form is self-explanatory, fill in the event date, event name, start date, end date, location, and any description, like the web links as to a Facebook event or where to buy tickets. The whole purpose of legionevents.app is not to supplant anything like Game Uplink or Longshanks. It's simply to connect players to events. So the description needs to be, how can a player get involved? How can a player get to the details about the tournament?
And we do some nice link parsing for kind of popular things, so Facebook events, Game Uplink, Longshanks. Part of the reason of needing a unifying site between these other services, aside from the fact that those services have roadmaps themselves and might not have the time to build this sort of thing, is people host in different services. So, you know, you've got Best Coast Pairings, you've got Longshanks, you've got Game Uplink. Sometimes you can't do some of those systems if, for example, you want to do like a doubles tournament. It's harder to do that in Game Uplink than, say, Longshanks. So it's just a way that it's really platform agnostic where you want, but not a one-stop shop. And then as a user, you can go in and you can say, okay, what's the time frame I care about? What's the distance? You can, if you let it have access to your location, then it can do a you know, you can say, oh, within 10 miles of me, or 100 miles, or 1,000 miles if you're really in the middle of nowhere. And use those sort of filters just to kind of see what's around and maybe find a community as well.
That's all, yes. Community is all the way it works. It's the way of the world for the Legion stuff. That's what we are. It's what we're good at. I'm trying to think of things that I've like missed, because we've said about these things before, but I'm trying to think, have you found, what are the road bumps? What are the road humps that you've found to sort of doing this, just out of interest?
I think the biggest bump's finding the time. In terms of the technical side of things, Elliot's done a fantastic job. That's been really smooth. I mean, a couple of bits here and there, but just testing drives that out. But it's just finding the time to get it done.
Yeah, exactly. I just put Jeff on notice when I want him to QA something. From a technical side, there's a whole bunch of annoying things that happened under the hood, which we don't need to bore people with the details. The system for us approving events is somewhat more roundabout under the hood than otherwise. And there's a few things that we want to do in terms of user experience, and there's obviously a lot more features that we can add. So the big thing is that if people have any feedback, there is a contact email at the bottom of the app, which please use. We're going to be incorporating some inbuilt forms. They're actually going to create issues for us directly on our code repository to make this process smoother in the future. But lots of feedback that people can give for what they want to see next.
I was going to say, also, if anyone has any feedback and they can't get hold of Jeff or Elliot, feel free to contact the podcast and we can pass on anything over. So go on, get us on Discord, Facebook, emails, anything like that. Ollie, have you got anything, comments, queries yourself?
It's night and day from what it used to be trying to find Legion tournaments.
Oh, yes.
And the amount of times where you'd just search Star Wars Legion tournament and you'd get ones from 6 months ago in 6 months' time when somebody had been super keen and you just can't. And then you might not have typed it in quite correctly, so you end up getting every single Star Wars tournament known to man. It's just painful. painful to find things. If I hadn't started playing around in such a good location for Legion, I'd have struggled finding events in the UK.
Mm. So for context, obviously, Jeff, we've said you're from Runcorn, which is the northeast of England. Elliot, you're London-based, Croydon.
Northwest.
I live in Runcorn. I'm from Hartlepool.
I was about to say, he's from the northeast, but yes, he lives in the northwest. Like, I was born in Blyth, but made in the Royal Navy, that kind of thing.
I'm actually in Hartlepool right now. So.
You're in Hartlepool? Oh, sorry, I stand corrected. You're in Hartlepool right now?
See, it looks to me like you're sitting.
It's
just trying to make it confusing for you, Cockles.
There is that. Also, I think it's quite nice that we can hark back to an early debate where we had a podcast about whether that we started a debate with Stabcast about whether Hartlepool was the home of monkey hangers. Jeff, can you confirm?
Tales.
You were there, I think, but yeah, carry on.
Yeah, the tales are true. We hung the monkey. We're proud of it. We've got a football mascot called Angus.
Oh. Wow. And I thought we weren't going to hear many dad jokes today, but there we go.
No. That monkey stood for mayor of Hartlepool.
Did it win? Probably.
So it started off with odds of 5,000 to 1, campaigned on free bananas for school children. But Hartlepool heard of this. Hartlepool slapped all their money down, won by a landslide.
Brilliant. Is that the equivalent of like Lord Dustbin Face that when it comes up to the election stuff going on? Oh, that's pretty cool.
When he got elected, they said you've gone from earning minimum wage as a fluffy mascot for the local football team and working in a call centre to running a multi-million pound budget for the whole town.
I bet that went well.
What's your first thoughts? And he said, oof, my mum's going to put me rent up.
I like that. But to be fair, given the state of British politics these days, he probably did a better job, but there we go. So that's LegionEvents.app. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Elliot, Jeff, Aria, Maya?
So the next iteration we're looking to try and integrate this with those amazing tournament software apps out there. So your Game Uplinks, your Longshanks, etc. So the idea being that rather than create the event for the tournament software and then create the event for LegionEvents.app, if we can harmonize that into a single point, then there's no extra work for the event organizer. They're going to have to create it on, say, Game Uplink or Longshanks. If we can integrate with those applications, then we can spin off that event in the background and save people time and still get the right results and still get it populated and still get it out there for people.
And lastly, Elliot, as obviously you're a prominent TO/organizer down in London 10, how has this helped you in terms of grow your community with newer players? Thing, obviously you are in London, so you've kind of got the pick of the players in terms of a large population base, but has it helped you in terms of growing those you might not have seen before and new players coming over to all your events and stuff?
It's definitely helped like that. It's funny. It's one of the things I would have really, really liked to have when I was getting into the scene, because there just wasn't really there wasn't a tournament scene really in London. And I, again, came to the realization, I quite like there to be tournaments, realized nobody was doing it, going, okay, fine, I'll run some tournaments. And co-event organizers in London, John, had the same idea at the same time, and we found Lila, and Lila now also co-TOs, so we lose a lot of games, obviously. but that has then helped us. We've got a couple good stores in central London, which has helped us build a big community as well, but we keep getting people from the outskirts kind of gravitating in, which is quite nice. I think if you have said directly that it's from Legion Events app, some has been from Jeff's Facebook page. I think we're doing really well in the UK, actually, on kind of publicizing events even before the app, just off of the Facebook effort that Jeff undertook. But I know that a lot of the American audience in particular have been asking for something like this for a while.
Wonderful. Well, glad we can help, or well, I'm glad you guys can help them, so that's perfect.
That's going to moon pay for it.
Well, you made it. I'm just like, we just helped put the things up. People ask questions, say, oh, God.
This does just confirm that we are much better than Stabcast.
Well, these boys are probably jumping on there at some point. They'll be like, but no, you've come on the funnest one. We're the funnest podcast, as to quote Austin Miller. So there we go. But you know, so to answer a question, what does some Patreon stuff do? I mean, so if Patreon helps make new projects and obviously other things like that, this is just a tiny fraction, to be fair, because this is what we can do. So those of you who are Patreon supporters, give yourselves a pat on the back, and then then pass that pat on the back to Jeff and Elliot, who made this happen for you and all that sort of stuff. Moving on, this weekend on which will be the beginning of June, if you're listening later after the fact, we have the UK Games Expo being ran by our very own connoisseur de la hound, Mr. Andy Terrell. He is TOing, and there'll be many a player attending. Not as many as maybe might have been thought, but we know there are some international attendants going. Rene from Denmark, who ran the Aalborg Open, is going, along with Timbo from Canada, who, if you listen to Fifth Trooper stuff, you'll hear his voice on there. If you're going, go have a chat with him. Nice guy. I'm meeting up with him tomorrow because he's staying near Andy's in Cambridge, and Cambridge is my hometown because it's better than Oxford. So I'm going down there, going to hang out with them, have a beer, that sort of thing. But some context. Elliot and Jeff, you guys, you're both going to UKG, or is it just one of yourselves?
I can't make it, unfortunately, so I think it's just Jeff.
Yep. So we'll go for some context then, because we're about to talk about lists and things like that. So Ollie, we know your background. We know you play the Fury Road. Elliot, tell us a little bit about how your Legion journey, so to speak, and what you play, and give us maybe mention a couple of stores if you like, and then Jeff will go on to yourself to do the same thing.
Yeah, I'm definitely an Empire main. For the past sort of year and a half up to Worlds, from the point that the IG droids came out, I ran double IG droids up until Chicago this year, where I did just about, I did fine with them. It was a pretty good list. I like them. I really like how they play together. It was Veers double IG. So that was kind of what a lot of people know me for running. I think it's a pretty mean list.
I concur.
Otherwise, I quite like skew things. At the moment, I'm running a double ATST triple bike Tempest. I always try and max things out. So the point of the double IG list was actually working. If you just use all the toys that they've got and you give them every chance to succeed, how do they work best? And that seemed to work and seemed to be pretty good. Inquisitors, I know a lot of people have found a little bit of difficulty with finding the best point with them. I've got a very well-performing list with them at the moment that if I was going to Games Expo, I'd probably try there, which is Veers Double Inquisitors. The rule with that was basically, can you make Inquisitors work without just making a Vader list and adding a couple Inquisitors to it? And I think that one you can. They like free recovers, so Veers is great for that. And a combination of spotter on Veers and put a portable scanner. It was Veers 2 IRG, double Inquisitors, and then a bunch of core around to do core things. But the main thing is it loads up their token sharing. So every turn, you basically are spottering and portable scannering onto Fifth Brother, which loads up the same tokens onto Seventh Sister. So every turn, by the end of your second activation, hopefully, or fairly early on, you've got an aim and a dodge on both of them. And then people know, but the offensive push interaction with the Inquisitors, you can get around the immobilized token thing by using offensive push, and that then loads up more and more tokens. So that all works great. And then obviously you come against any Force user and you've got double Inquisitor training, and it's, you know, there's no Force push, no Force choke, anything like that. And it's pretty nice.
We'll come to Inquisitors in a bit. We'll see what Ollie's on that one. So Jeff,
I might be jumping the gun.
It's all right. Jeff, what's your name? So obviously we said where you live. Where do you play out of, and what's your main jam?
So I mainly play at tournaments. Occasionally get down to Element Games in Stockport. Usually through the league. This time being run by Tony Fox. just about to start. So we've got a few pods going with groups in there. And I am running Rebels in that league.
You're running Rebels?
I'm running Rebels.
Interesting, interesting, and interesting. So,
I've run Empire quite a bit, a lot of Tempest and things like that. Blizzard with double ATST, triple bike. Then did a bit of double bus with Operative Luke and Ahsoka. Then for Worlds, jumped on the XD bandwagon. did quite well with them. But coming away from Worlds, XDs...
You were very, very humble there, my friend. You know you made top 32. Be proud of that.
Thank you. But coming away from Worlds, they have got some significant weaknesses, especially against things like Fury Road. So I've looked around at what can handle a lot of different things that are available at the moment. And I've settled on a rather unusual Rebel list that is not off the net. It's all my own creation.
Interesting.
I'll be running that out at Expo.
Well, I won't ask you what it is yet because Ollie will... I don't know why you're not... The odds of you pairing up are low at the start. But Ollie, obviously you're going to UKGE. This will be your first major since that thing in Chicago that happened.
That unimportant little event.
Did you do well there?
To be honest, no. I was broken by the end of it. So
did your Jaeger bomb do well?
I bombed the Jaeger, yes. And the Jaeger bombed me.
So I mean, Ellie and I don't have a skin in this game for this weekend, which is unfortunate. But I mean, we're all at MKGT, aren't we? Yes.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, there we go. So perfect. So Ollie, you lead on this one. Just what are you expecting? Don't tell us obviously what you're taking, and although we probably think you're taking Fury Road. Although, what are you expecting to see? As Jeff touched on and Elliot touched on, we saw experimental droids being the predominant list in the States at Worlds. What do you think UKGE will be? What do you think UKG will be the predominant list style?
So I think EXD has been run off in the UK. I think the performance that I put in at Worlds has discouraged players from wanting to take it at larger scale events, solely for the reason of how good it is into the EXD matchup. I know that Timbo from Canada is bringing EXD, and that is only because Andy is lending it to him. As he unfortunately wasn't able to bring any of his own armies across. So I know there'll be at least one EXD there. I know a few people are trying to run my list. I know a few people are trying to run my list and have made changes to it, which will always baffle me. But, you know, I get it. Everyone wants to put their own flair on things. That's just not how I play games. but, yeah, I think that we will see an upright, you'll probably see Azure running Tempest, Dave Grant's little one. And then you've got Dave himself who'll be running something mental, probably Vader based, probably 6 Axel 7, probably Terrify Me. But that's fair. But some of the UK's kind of heavy hitters aren't attending. And I've looked at the attendee list and I don't recognise a lot of the list, so it gives me a bit of a weirdness to see what will actually be out there, as we don't actually have our range troopers yet. We don't have our Republic Commandos yet, which are things that have already started to do well over in America. So I think what we'll see is some selections that are completely wild and random lists. I think you'll see a couple of Ewoks in there. I think you'll see Tony Fox copying my list exactly and playing it poorly. So some of the usual. That man messages me at least 3 times a week to ask me questions, and I love it, and I'm all for it. But I will rinse him online.
I do really wonder, because this is going to be the first, first event since Worlds, certainly in the UK. I do really wonder whether the fact that people aren't vying for Worlds invites anymore. Especially if you're a high level player, and the GT prizes, if they're similar to what you know, the world's wall was, you know, there isn't the pressure that you have to do top four to get an invite, and it's all about the invite so that you can go to Chicago, and nobody's got one at the start, and it's really tough competition. I do wonder if that's going to make people do riskier lists, if people are going to go for a little bit of jank.
Are you saying they're going to try more fun?
Oh, I wouldn't say that any competitive player would play for fun. No. But I do think that you'll see people trying, you know, with Inquisitors. If Commandos were out, I think people would be running triple Commando, whether or not it's good. Obviously, triple range will be good, and people will run that when it comes out. But, I think we might see some people actually trying to geos to work in a similar way, beyond just winning recover the supplies and not much else.
I think that you'll see because you saw this when Shadow Collective started to make waves in the first bit. Whenever Shadow Collective does well at a tournament, everybody who owns a bit of Shadow Collective either splashes it into their list or decides that they want to run Shadow Collective.
Oh, now, everybody likes a single unit of Pink Suns.
What? Get out of here with that nonsense. I think that you'll see droids, but not in experimental droid format. I've seen a lot more Ion Spiders starting to make a return. I think some people are kind of banking in against armor a lot more, so it will make games more difficult, more tactical. I think I'll have a good challenge. I honestly think that there are lists out there. I mean, I lost at the weekend against
it was double dark triple HH12.
Yeah, against double dark triple HH12. And I kind of looked at it and I was like, I knew it was a bad matchup going in. I think you probably could have swung it if the dice had been a touch kinder. But again, if there was ever a game where I'd want everything to go wrong just so I can see what it looks like, it's against that list.
I think Pete, you're right. People are definitely still teching against armor. It's one of those things, like, if you look at a list and you go, do I have an answer to a force user? Do I have an answer to an armor skew? Do I have an answer of somebody getting in my face really quickly? If you can't answer those questions, it's not a competitive list.
Here's a query for you all. Here's a query. Yeah. Take short answers on this one. What's the best anti-armor unit outright?
HH12 Specialist Stormtrooper.
Okay. No.
Go on.
Blackson Enforcer. Fragdet Blackson Enforcer.
You've got to get to range one.
Also, no. So, in my opinion, the best armor killing unit in the game is Blizzard Force Core. Oh, Christ, I haven't played it in so long.
HRU,
there we go. The Blizzard Force HRUs with DLT and HH12. You're at impact 4 at range 4, which is fantastic at killing armor before it can get to you.
Yeah, aren't playing Blizzard Force.
Yeah, but we didn't say what is the best unit in the game outside of Blizzard Force. If you'd have said that, I'd have said something different.
But you're locked to one of two builds if you play Blizzard Force. So
yeah,
they're good builds, but like
the lawyer questioning me goes, unfortunately, the Northampton boy is right. I didn't ask that. So following on from that, in the great game of rock paper scissors, if it's an infantry unit is, as you've decided, is the best anti armor. What's the best anti infantry? Isn't a melee unit.
So on this one, it is the Black Sun Enforcers with Scattergun and Vigo, I think, is the best infantry killer.
Yeah.
It's that is such a good dice pool with Precise 1, Pierce 1, and so it's 12. So it's 15 dice that you're rolling to get a maximum of 12 hits/crits with a free aim and a free surge every round.
Yeah.
At range 2, that is devastating to any infantry.
And if you load it with something like frags and you get them to range 1, even more devastating.
It's terrifying.
Like, I mean, it's easily wipe anything. It's that lovely combo of just a ton of dice and good mods and good expected results. So it doesn't matter if you've got cover, if you've got low profile, if you've got dodges or whatever, you're going to get something through. And what you get through is a lot of results.
And free aims and precise and...
Yeah.
So the consensus is on is that then? There's no debate? No room for anyone extra?
I think the only other one would be possibly fully kitted out Dark Troopers. Because they fire twice and do the whole thing, but twice.
They are tankier.
They are a bit tankier, but that would be the only other one in the running.
Yeah, I think to become a good infantry killer, you have to have the keyword pierce in the dice pool, and this is why I think arcs would probably take a good second place. A range two arc shot is devastating to infantry squads, especially with their own aim from moving, plus an additional aim that they can then share to re-roll some additional dice, plus potentially a fire support in there. So, like, you know, if you up it to what activation is the best infantry killer, you would probably say it's an arc squad at range two being fire supported by a Z6 with fives. I think that's probably the largest amount of dice I can think of.
When I've done these questions, I've come up at about 23 dice is the max you can come out at, and that's about as big as I can.
Because it's 6, 9, so it's 13 from the fire supporting squad, and then if you've got, is it 4 or 5 arcs? I think it's 5 arcs. So you got 8 dice there, and then 2 dice from the sniper. So yeah, 23. On a fire support shot, but that requires you to run fives, which already puts you on the back foot.
I think it's four in arcs, if you include the heavy.
No, there's squads of four, and you add a heavy.
Yeah, and this was the thing up until about 6 or 7 months ago. People really weren't running full arcs very much, and still the only arcs you'd bring were strike teams, and you'd have one, maybe two, and so people forgot about how good they are when you get close.
I honestly think Dave Grant kind of prophesizes what's going to come into the meta soon, because before Yoda Padme arcs was a thing, Dave was there just like, oh, what can we do with these full units of arcs, and was just throwing them at people and doing crazy things.
Do you think Mike Barry gets a claim on that, doesn't he, a bit?
No,
okay. I thought he did, with the banter aside, I think he did do quite well. He paved a little bit of the way of the 501st style arcs.
So Mike paved the way for Yoda Padme.
Oh, okay.
He did incredibly well at some really, really hard-fought tournaments over in the US. And he sort of came... I think he won his flights and hotel down at quite a big open in America with Yoda Padme arcs, and yeah. that kind of archetype was born around that sort of time. You know, don't hate me if I've misquoted or if there's somebody feels left out because I've not mentioned them when they in fact created the list. Right. But you know, like Evan Bullris paved the way for me.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
because he ran a weird. I say weird. He ran the original Fury Road. I guess my version's weird. It was what 10x with pikes and capos and all kinds of crazy stuff.
Here's one for you. So obviously UKG at the weekend. Which are we more likely to see more of? Pikes or Black Suns? Pink Suns? Enforcers, whichever you want to call them. Which are you going to see more of? Pikes or Enforcers overall?
Pikes.
You can see more Pikes? Yeah. Elliot?
I think that there's still a lot of people who like taking Pink Suns.
Jeff?
I'd be surprised if we saw a mass amount of pikes. Now, one of my losses at Worlds was to just a pike spam gun line. I think it was 7 acts of pikes, maybe 6, and then like 3 capos and an enforcer, and it just sat at long range up until the end. And you know, you play KP or something, and you just get rushed at the end, and you can't do wounds at range. No. That was a really tough game. Well deserved win to him, but. Yeah, individual squads have never really felt that threatening.
Jeff, what do you think?
I've always seen more Black Suns than Pikes in the UK. I think it's possibly a UK thing.
What?
No.
No, not even a little.
I've not come across Pikes.
I mean, maybe you were lucky to dodge them, but the first ever MKGT...
dodge pikes, see what you
the first ever MKGT was littered with pikes.
Oh, sure.
The UK Games Expo, where the Dog Eater won, that had loads of pikes in it. Honestly, pikes have been like a staple to the UK meta for a long, long while. Much more than Black Suns. The only time I ever see Black Suns is if either I or Lila runs them.
See, that's the thing, is because the London meta specifically is very much shaped by Lila's Pink Suns, in that either you are having to play Lila and therefore playing through your own tiers, or someone is, you know, doing a version of it and doing well with it. So everybody knows the power of the Pink Sun, and I think that there hasn't been that sort of... You do every so often, like you say, with, you know, your inspiration for Fury Road or anything else. Sometimes you do just need someone to lead the way, and then everybody goes, oh, wait, that unit is really good.
So I think sweeps have become very popular since Worlds. I see a lot of people running them in their lists now.
Which led me to my next. Will we see more swoops or more Empire speeder bikes?
More swoops.
Oh. Is that because everyone's copying you, or is that because you think people are learning the power of the swoop?
I don't think it's either. I think it's because Blizzard Force is no longer a prominent list archetype, and most lists don't contain speeder bikes if they're not in Blizzard Force. There used to be the times of Iden triple bike that Kyle Dornbos ran back LVO a couple of years ago, I think it was, back when Zeus Juice won with Luke DLTs.
There's also the thing of, if you're going to run, like, obviously if you're going to run Blizzard, you run your four speeders. Some people, I advocate for double ATST triple bike now in Tempest. I think it's good. Not a lot of people run that. So I don't think that there's not a lot of archetypes that use lots of bikes. And Empire speeder bikes, you can get away with two. You can run them in pairs and they work pretty well. You don't have to do three or four. Whereas swoops, if you're going to run them, you run them in threes. Because you need the threat saturation. Because if it's one or two, I have really no fear of those guys. I'll kill them before they engage. You just need to threat saturate. And, you know, Ollie's list works so well because everything is threat saturation. Oh, I've got to kill that. Okay, well, if I kill that, I don't kill the rest of it, which then hits me. And there's no good choice. And that's one of the things that Swoops works really well on.
Yeah, and it's threat saturation and, like, the buses either work for line of sight blocking, bringing back minis, or adding suppression to troopers. So I spent a good while. It was actually in a pub with Jeff in Spain where my idea for this list was brought to life, as Jeff was getting quite irate at he's getting quite irate at Nav. These two were having quite a heated discussion about the new Overrun rules, and I was just sat there quietly pondering, going, oh my god, I think I know what I'm doing.
It does sound like Jeff is most productive in a pub, doesn't it?
Yeah, it
is generally the case.
But all of Jeff's best ideas are born in a pub.
But I too will have a unit of swoops in my army for Expo.
I'm so confused as to why. I've read two of the units you've got on your list, and I wonder, do you want to win UK Games Expo? But apparently not.
He can make World Top 32. He doesn't need to prove it anymore.
Oh, no, he doesn't.
How have you got a hold of my list then?
Well, somebody said that you to mention that you have a certain furry unit in one of your list.
And you've just told me that you have a swoop in there for some mad reason, just one.
Yeah, we're two acts down out of 9 or 10.
11.
So okay.
So I would imagine that Jeff has either chosen to go at me in as best way as he can, in which case he's running double land speeder with ion rockets. No, he's shaking his head.
You can't fit an Ewok in a land speeder.
No, you don't need to. You also can't fit a swoop bike in a land speeder, but we weren't saying what can we fit in a land speeder.
If he ends up going Ahsoka Luke double land speeder, that will
I don't think it's this, but I'm just going to put it out there. For 435 points, you can put six Ewok skirmishers and three swoop bikes, and you still have
you can't get three swoop bikes in Rebels.
Can you not stick the
Underworld connections only works once. Right. You can't take it multiple times, and you're only allowed one swoop bike. Underworld connection allows you to take a second.
All right, so basically, so far we can go with six Ewok skirmishers and two bikes.
Can't do six Ewok skirmishers.
You can't do six Ewok skirmishers.
Same reason. They're all so
bad. Oh, is it the same thing?
Well, no, it's slightly different. The six Ewok skirmishers is only the Bright Tree Battle Force.
Oh.
Whereas if you're putting it into a rebel list, you can take, I think it's two core, one special forces, one support of a mercenary faction. If you take Underworld connections, you can take an additional one of any of those, but not multiples. I think that's
so
right.
You can take three and two.
Okay, so maximum you can take in full units of Ewoks. The maximum you could take is four. You can add characters. I'm just talking about squads.
But if you're running double, running double swoop already, then you don't get a bonus to the Ewoks.
But he's not running double swoop. He's running single swoop.
Single Ewok. All right. Okay. Right, I look forward to seeing what Jeff does.
Have you got Bistan in there?
Nope.
No.
Huh?
this week on That's No Moon, we play Guess Jeff's Mentor.
Oh, I mean, I feel like we're going to have to keep going with this now. I need to know what's in there.
You'll find out on Friday.
Legion Guess Who, isn't it?
Yeah. Jeff looks like at least eight Guess Who characters anyway.
Is he bald? No. Did he used to have hair down to his bum?
What about the time when you got like your hair cut and you were just sitting down and he was sitting on his hair and he couldn't get up?
True story.
Love it.
So Jeff disabled himself because his hair was too long.
He's okay, well, there's still a couple hairs.
Oh, I've seen them. I've seen them.
Listeners, what you ask me is that Jeff's daughter is pinning down his head and stroking his bald head.
Do you have a girls? You have to go and get yourself a nice cleaning cloth and some waxing spray and get him really shiny for Friday.
That's how he trains him on Legion. Wax on, wax off.
Yeah. Jeff had to move away from the northeast because people kept mistaking him for a lighthouse.
That's all right. I'm intrigued. So, to be fair, when's the list cut off submission date for UKGE? Just out of interest. Because if it's Wednesday, I'll make sure this doesn't go until Wednesday.
it's Wednesday night at like 11:59 p.m.
I don't want to risk it. I was going to ask
if anybody significantly counters their list because they hear that Jeff has bought an Ewok and a swoop, that person is an idiot.
That is true.
I don't think
Jeff, I'm switching to Blizzard Force because of what you bring in.
Fine.
Anyway, right, back to the topic at hand. So we said about armor and things like that. So things that we might expect to see. Do you think there will be, gentlemen, and girls, do you think there will be more combined buses in lists than there will be in all other types of armor?
I'm going to say that again.
All the buses that are in lists. So
okay.
Do you think there will be more of them than all the other types of armor?
No.
No.
Do you think there'll be more AT-STs that skew that then?
Dark troopers.
Armor vehicles.
So I know for a fact I know for a fact there are at least four buses going, and that's two out of the 32 players. Only because I know Tony is running my list. Lila's not going, so she's not going to be running the single bus. Andy's not playing. Jack doesn't run a bus because he's not running his double bus gin list. I think he's running his Obi-Padme Pikes.
No, he's not. He's not at all doing that. Don't skew for that list at all.
There's nothing to skew for. He either fail saves or he doesn't. There's nothing you can do to change that.
There will be some Tempest. There will be some triple ATST.
Who's running triple ATST? I know Azure will be.
I mean, yeah, well, okay, so there's at least three armor then there, right? To counter the four that you've counted for buses so far, we know that there's three there. Other people like running ATSDs and double
happened. I think that the sudden increase in focus on armor will be deterring players from bringing triple ATST to UK Games Expo.
It is cyclical, right, though? Like, if nobody brings armor to UK Games Expo, then people will bring armor to MKGT or...
I think
people will go, oh, nobody brought that. I don't need to bring as much impact, and then...
Yeah, I think that people can't skew too hard into armor whilst there's still Wookiees out there. Because if you skew too hard into armor, Wookiees will overrun you because you're not taking the Pierce guns. So I think that armor is... It all depends on if any mad people bring the double land speeder ion rockets. I think you may see one, maybe two of them. I think you'll see plenty of darks.
How many ISPs? There's always one mad bugger.
Matt Haslam's not playing.
No, but like I said, I don't recognize a good 50-60% of the field that's there, and that's unusual. And that's me and Andy don't recognise half the field, so we're not sure where all the players have come from.
do we have faction breakdown yet?
It will exist, but I haven't seen it.
You're asking the wrong technical expert. In fact, you're not asking a technical person. We need to wait for Le Mange de Hound to reappear in the next episode.
Need to wait for Terrell Monge to La Chien.
Yes, he might. Yeah, here we are. and so there's that. So, finally, Elliot, you touched on Inquisitors earlier. Inquisitors, I've not dabbled in them yet. Obviously, new to Empire. I've played Dark Troopers, and that's about it so far. So, what should people, if people are going to come up against Inquisitors, what should they be prepared to expect, and little tricks in terms of the command cards and stuff like that that they have? Because if you've not played it, you don't know. That'll be me coming up soon.
I'm not sure how much advice I can give on coming up against it. I haven't played against them yet. Knowing what they need, if you're seeing double Inquisitor, the main things to know that if you've got a Force user, you're probably going to have a hard time, especially if you're reliant on using standbys or force push. The fact that they've got two sources of force push means that you running in and doing a standby to be nice and safe means that they'll just force push you and strip you standby. So you can't do that, and that really knocks out a lot of Commander Vader play. It knocks out a fair amount of Luke play. So it's really quite difficult. Then if you need to rely on force push working, well, again, if you're facing double Inquisitor, you need to think about placing yourself outside of range one of at least one of the Inquisitors whenever you use a force push. The opposing player, if they're good, won't let you do that. Because if you're at range one of both of them, anytime you want to use a force action, they're going to throw two red defense dice and any paint. Is it any paint, actually, or is it just... any paint. So three quarters chance you're not getting that off on two dice. So three quarters on either dice, and you don't get your force power off. In my experience, that means that anybody at range one of both Inquisitors doesn't get to use force power. That's really strong when they get to use both force pushes. They obviously are immune pierce they're not even in melee, just immune pierce, which means that you're not going to just be able to lightsaber them to death super quickly. They actually quite like getting hit. With the way that the command cards tend to play out, Fifth Brother loves to take a couple wounds. He gets charge, which means that he basically becomes a cut price Commander Vader, because he goes to infinite courage, can do all of Commander Vader's standby shenanigans at basically half the cost. And if they're bringing med bots, then, you know, you just keep them alive on those low wounds and it's absolutely fine. The main thing is that they don't actually do a lot of damage. Seventh Sister is probably worse here. You know, they both throw five black dice, surging hit. They should have a couple aims. But they don't clear squads of troopers. They'll do consistent damage to heroes over a few attacks, and they'll be hard to shift if they get into melee, but they won't wipe your units. So a good action is just to bury them in melee with some expendable core units and try and punch them to death, in my experience. Fifth Brother will kill your armor. If he's got an aim, he's going to do at least four saves on armor, because he's got ram 2 and impact 2, pierce 1 on 5 black dice. And because you take offensive push on the Inquisitors, it's a stapled upgrade. He'll have an aim. So if he rolls 5 black dice and with an aim, so in total rolling 7 dice, if he can get 1 crit there and 2 hits, he's scoring 5 results with pierce 1 into armor. That will kill a tank pretty damn quickly if you've already shot it a little bit. So he's quite good like that. So I would stay at range of them and shoot them. They've only got block at range, not deflect. So range killing them is a big deal.
Cool. Jeff, you were nodding away at some of those things. Anything you want to add?
No. Elliot's captured it perfectly. I played against Inquisitors at Worlds, having not practiced against them, and did exactly that. Shot them at range, put a couple of wounds on them. Seventh sister got in, just regular unit into combat, bang, gone. He's like, oh, she's taken 2 wounds. I'm like, okay. And he's looking down going, she's now on 5. And he's like, oh, she appears to be dead. Yeah, take her off. Fifth Brother just didn't put any wounds on him initially, so he's not got that charge. And then when he got in, just tied him up with a bog standard unit and went, well, I've got six models here. You're not going to kill anyone. I just put B1s into him. And it's like, well, they're Fifth Brother's out of the game for 2 turns. You've got a unit of B1s, Fifth Brother. Well done. Thank you.
Yep. Ollie, have you played any Inquisitors yet, online and or real?
No.
Have you not?
No.
Okay. Because you play so much games. I thought you would have bumped into them.
No, because they're not very good. and that's seems to be quite a consensus. There probably will be a list out there that breaks them and makes them incredible. And I am excited for when that day comes. But as it stands right now, I don't think that they're particularly good. Because anything where you lose the synergy when you lose half of a unit isn't great. We all know how feels bad it is when you're down to 1 out of 2 bikes in a squad. You know, you really feel like the teeth have been taken out. And it will be the same with Seventh Sister and Fifth Brother. And they're not that difficult to kill, especially when we're still in the realms of clone balls. Clone balls are great at killing them. Experimental droids, great at killing the Fifth and Seventh Sister. There's still a lot of bounty out there with Empire. That seems to be quite a popular choice. So running 2 characters that are slightly worse and less defensible than the usual Force users makes it a liability in terms of actually, you know, keeping victory points and trying to win the game. But I'm not saying they're terrible. I'm just saying that there's the right list for them hasn't been found yet.
This is definitely my experience. It's like that. Is that feels bad? Of oh my god, I've lost one of them. That makes the other one so much worse as well. Fifth is used to generate tokens for seventh, but also fifth wants to get shot. So if your opponent obliges you, you're going to lose fifth earlier than seventh, and then seventh gets worse. If you lose seventh earlier, she's got all of the useful command cards. So if she dies too early, then you lose actually any of the cohesion with them. Either someone will get pretty good with something like what I was running, which was Veers for the free recover, 2 IRG to keep them protected at range, and then the two of them with a bunch of core that can deal with armor at range. Or someone's just going to do a Dave Grant and run something Vader skew with them. So it'll just be Vader and double Inquisitors and fill it out to taste, probably with just a bunch of basic stormtroopers with medbots. And then you just win things based on the objective play. Having 2 sources of force push is great. The only thing that's better than that is 3 sources of force push, and Vader's might as well. So, you know, that can be a meme. Whether or not it can be a good meme is, you know, to be seen.
Are you telling me that Dave's going to come up with Vader, double Inquisitors, double Gav tank?
I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, that could be entertaining. Oh, dear. Meanwhile, in typing in the chat, people Ollie's playing guess the porrit list, and it's sort of entertaining.
Ollie's playing look at my last tournament and read off the
from that. Jeff, I believe you managed to acquire some information that will give us it's an early indication, but let's not take for granted. But some breakdown. What have you got?
So we've got there's only what 5, 10. 14 lists submitted so far, but faction wise, good spread. We've got Mercs, Rebs, and Imperial on 2 each, Republic on 3, and leading the charge are Separatists on 5. So I think there's going to be a number of experimental droids in there, Separatists. I know. Well,
we know both of the Mercs are Ollie and Tony already.
Yeah, and I know if Timbo's you said was running XDs.
Do you think anyone's going to be mad and take semi-sensible and take the Andy SKU of the XD droids, or are they going to go, no, it didn't work?
That's not an Andy SKU. That's a Chippo SKU.
We did not mention that character. he's also not a real person. He's just scripts that somebody's imported into TTS that just asks people for games in Discord and then insults them.
He's been
running an interesting Maul, Ion Spider, Bosk, and B1 snipers.
Spider.
It's interesting. I think there's still going to be some XDs in there. They had an amazing showing against Republic in Worlds. They absolutely tormented the life out of them. We'll just wait and see what Friday brings.
Do we think anybody's going to bring Snail XDs?
That's what I mean. Did anyone do the Andy list?
If you're bringing XDs, the Snail is the best version.
I mean, it bombed, didn't it?
Jeff, it's not. Oh. It just isn't the best version.
It beats the other XDs.
No, it doesn't.
Hold on. Just to clarify, Jeff took the snail version. Am I right?
Yeah.
How many other XD droids lists did you beat at Worlds?
I beat one droid and one XD.
Okay.
So you beat one EXD. So in the top four, I can tell you there were zero snail tanks.
Oh no.
And Andy placed up at what, 61st? I'm saying like I don't know exactly what score he got. He was 61st.
Of the XDs, there were, in the top 32, there was one snail, and Corey brought double droidicas or triple droidicas, but everything else was copy paste triple sniper.
No, that's not true, because Luke's was running Magnus and was running impact grenades on 2 out of 3 PXs. As well as I think most of it was the same outside of that. But there's a reason why most of the top lists are looking like they're the same. And that's because after hundreds of people have tested with hundreds of games, that's the list that they've come out with being the best one. Because the snail tank was great into EXD before people started putting impact grenades on their BXs.
Yeah, and it's such a cheaper add to be a counter, isn't it? Yeah. So just off the XD chat, if commandos and range troopers are out, how much do we actually think that would skew the lists for Games Expo? They are out. They're just Asmodee moving a warehouse, and therefore none of the pre-orders are going out.
So most of the Rocky top Republic players all were running some amount of clone commandos. Now, I'm in camp. I think swoops are amazing into clone commandos. And so I think that they're a perfect counter to that unit. Range troopers, however, I am a little less well, I don't know enough about them yet. I think that I've seen a couple of like double bounty, triple range lists floating around, and they look terrifying. But again, if that becomes the meta, you will then see stuff like probably like Blizzard Force make a return, because you'll be going for high mobility lists to outmaneuver the speed one range troopers. Yes, I mean,
and they don't get the free aim when they're shooting at bikes, who they want to be shooting at range four.
Yeah, so you know they're going to be going for your core, which you're going to be sat in your heavy cover. You're going to take med bots, and I think that range troopers is just Empire trying to be Republic.
Interesting take on that one. I look forward to see what commandos do along with range troopers and the Bad Batch. Particularly the Bad Batch, I think that'd be fun, especially to see what they do in Rebels.
Yeah, Bad Batch Rebels, I think, is what Rebels I'm most interested about.
Interesting stuff, especially so it's a rebel unit with a red save. Oh, it's fun. That isn't a force user as well. So we come up to, so we'll start bringing to wrap the show up. So obviously UKG, Ollie, I'm just going to do some hot takes and hot expectations. So Ollie, what do you expect to see do well, and what won't do well?
I think that somebody running Fury Road will do well. Whether that's me or not is still yet to be seen.
You're basically saying, is Tony going to do well?
Well, somebody who is competent outside of Tony, I'd like to see do well with it. Just see my list doing well. I think the top eight, you'll be looking at people like Jack with his list. Really solid. He's got some good practice with it. Having looked at Jeff's list, no chance. I think that Dave will top eight with whatever randomness Dave brings. But yeah, I think we'll have. I would like to throw out a curveball and say that we will see all five factions in the top eight.
Oh,
you're going to put money on it?
How much do you want?
I don't think that's a curveball.
I think a Jaeger bomb, Elliot.
I'll definitely do you for a Jaeger bomb. I don't think that we'll see Rebels in the top eight.
I think we will.
I think that
if somebody's running 14 act Ewoks, the proper version, you'll see that in the top eight. Maybe. Because that's a hard list to beat. And if people are teching heavy into armor, Brightree Village is going to annihilate them.
How much are you willing to go as high? Are you going to say top eight, or up to top six, or up to top five? What do you reckon? How are you going to go? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Or are you going to go up to six?
Well, shall we just say who's the top four? Right, like top four at Worlds was 3 XDs and Ollie. What's
Ollie,
top four?
Just Ollie, no faction, just an Ollie faction.
Yeah.
just an Ollie. It was there was a hungover Ollie and three people from elsewhere.
No, one French Canadian.
One French Canadian, one American, one Polish. Yes, I know.
Yeah, because otherwise he'll upset Oscar and he'll be like, you call me American, and he'll punch you in the face.
Really? Right. I don't think he's got the temperament.
No, his missus will, sorry.
Ah, yes, fair enough.
Yeah, there you go. What was I going to say? No, so what do you think the top four consistent factions would be then, gentlemen?
So, shameful plug, I'd like to see myself in the top four.
I mean, shock.
Shock.
Two Fury Rods in the top four?
I don't know. It's possible because it is an incredible list.
I'd be surprised if it wasn't a Merc, an XD, some Empire list, and then one TBD, maybe second Merc.
I think you'll see a Republic. I think you'll see the guy who won the tournament, Jeff, was at the weekend, was running a list that is obviously tailored to try and fight armor in some small way. But his list was running, I won't give it all away in case he's at UK Games Expo, but it was like an Obi Padme, like Lat Bark Arc and some troopers, with a lot of wild upgrades in there.
That sounds like something I'd do.
Oh yeah, but then Jack is an age old great player. And
he's younger than me. He's not old.
You have said that a lot of people are going to tech against armor, and also that no one's going to bring armor. So I don't know what those anti-armor lists are going to do so well against.
But it's not even so much that with Republic there are ways around it, and they don't really. If they're teching into armor, they're spending very few points and still getting decent dice pools.
Yeah, that's true.
Because an RPS squad, even if it's not shooting armor, if it fire supports or something, it's a lot of dice. And at the end of the day, it's a dice game. So yeah, I think a Republic, a Fury Road, or a Merc of some description, an Empire list, maybe double darks, and then an EXD or a droid variant.
Jeff, what do you reckon?
Oh, I think Empire have got something there. Weapons like the T-21, fantastic weapons. Access to relatively cheap repair med bots. Something like a Vader Immortal is still a very, very good list. You've got Tempest as well. Azure on a roll after going 3-0. So we'll just have to see what comes out.
We don't know if she suffers from the Grant disorder yet, which is you play three games and you are the most phenomenal, like crazy good player in the world, and then you get bored and you do something weird. which is the Grant curse at all events that I've ever seen.
The DG curse. Here's one, girls. Right. What do you think the list will be? No, sorry, actually, that's not that one. What do you? Where, out of 32 players, where do you think your dad will finish?
Where do you think I'll finish? Well, I'll finish 32nd at the bottom.
Will he be
around the top 10?
About top 10?
Around the top 10.
No?
No one's saying yes. That's, I love that.
You're going lower, higher?
Lower.
Lower. So lower than the top 10. 15th?
No.
15th to 30th. So she's got the same confidence as me as Ollie has. Thank you.
Brilliant. Love that.
I think that, Jeff, you will catch people off guard. And you will win several games because of it. And then you'll run into Dave and things will fall apart.
That's not what I'm running. That is standard MO. I run into Dave and things fall apart.
It happened to me as well. Last time I ran into Dave. Although, to be fair, I got him down to kill points last time. So, on KP, but...
Final thoughts on UKGE is that if you aren't going, you can watch some of the games because I believe they're being streamed. And I can't think what organisation would be streaming such an event. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's us.
So it's Stabcast.
That would be us. So if you're not like doing anything the weekend, or you are and you need something on the background to keep you distracted or engaged, who knows? You can jump onto our YouTube channel, which is, and I'm going to make sure I get it right, so I'm actually going to bring it up because it's TNM pod or something like that, but I'm gonna look. Hang on. My brain had it already, and I'm just gone for it.
Good to see you prepared, Cockles.
It's almost like we're the originators of the podcast, and now we don't know what our underlings do.
Right. Minions, do it. Can you remember?
It's like that's no moon pod.
No, it's cast. TNM. At TNM Pod.
There we go.
You go to at TNM Pod on YouTube and click the old, I'm going to sound like a proper YouTuber. Click like and subscribe. And then you can give us some support and all this sorts of stuff and help the algorithm and all that kind of YouTube.
So to note as well, we will not be commentating on the rounds of Swiss. Unfortunately, we are lacking available people. To actually commentate the games for us. As Andy is the head TO, I will, of course, be playing. Cockles can't make it as he's doing real people things. Tom will be there on the Sunday to commentate, and we will have people commentating on the first round of the top eight. So it is it is five rounds of Swiss, after which there will be a top eight cut with the top eight first game being played, last game on the Saturday, and the top four battling
putting it out on the Sunday. So we will have great commentary. And if people do free up early and they do drop from games and they do want to commentate on the games, we will, of course, have all of the gear there to allow them to do so.
Because the bonus is, we're running the show on this. Well, I say we. Well, technically, well, Andy, we're running the show, so we don't have to adhere to Adepticon/AMG rules. We can do what we want because it's our show. So we'll just jump in where we can and offer some comms and thoughts and hot takes after games and things and that sort of stuff. But yeah, Tom will be there on the final day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Oh my word, can't remember. Anyway, Tom will be there on a Sunday to commentate on the final couple of games. Obviously, we'll be looking to do a couple of giveaways and stuff in there as well. So keep an eye on that one. But on the similar vein, we'll be doing the same thing for MKGT, where you'll see all of us, all of the team, plus friends of the show, such as Elliot, such as Jeff, such as Jack. Well, no, Jack's part of the team, such as my son. All these different people who are friends of the show. Visitors from Sweden, all this sorts of stuff. So we'll be doing the same sort of thing. Tom, obviously, it's coming up to very, very not dangerous. What's the word? It's not dangerous, is it? Is it dangerous having children? Yeah, it can be. No, coming up to very delicate timing of his life in terms of his wife would be due within, I think, two or three weeks of the MKGT. So he's playing it cool and avoiding one day but turning up on the second day. So we'll do the comms then. Hopefully, he'll be commentating on, like, He'll be there and be like, oh my God, Cockle's made the final cut. What's going on there? And that, I mean, wishful thinking on my part. Who knows? So we're doing the same sort of thing there. But we're also planned to be commentating and doing streaming at the other UK majors this year, such as the LGT, the Reading Grand Tournament, the Sheffield, and the Nottingham.
So we do have a presence at Sheffield confirmed, as I will be there. Andy will be running it.
I believe I've got the green light for Sheffield and Reading myself. So
I shall get a hotel with you then, Mr. Cockles, and we can split those costs there.
You put the petals on the bed like last time. I mean, what?
I've got a video of you you turning over in bed singing a sexy song.
Yep.
Cockles getting treated to towel patina every morning.
Oh well, you know.
I was there live for that. I was there live.
He was sat about 3 foot.
When I blink, I see it. Sort of thing.
Is what it is. Yeah. There are a couple of other events that we would like to plug as well. So we have, of course, UKG that's coming up. I believe tickets are now off sale. And I think we're capped at the 32, so that's looking like it's going to be a good event. There's also the Star Wars Unlimited that's going on the Sunday at UK Games Expo for any of our Unlimited listeners out there. I do believe that still has spaces left. We have got Andy's next local Milton Keynes event, which is the last Saturday of June. I believe Gawain, the man, the myth, the Wookiee, is coming over from Bristol again with a few Bristolians to play.
Can Wookiees be bald? Are they Shuffle from alopecia?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. And then some of our friends over in Poland have recently invited me over to an event on the 15th of June. Now, this is looking like it is one of their GTs. It is a two-day event, I believe. I'm trying to...
Is that Mr. Wisniewski?
I have just tagged Jeff in it so we can add it to the calendar. Cuba invited me, and it's Michael Kalins who's actually running the event. So it is the Tournament 5 edition of Galaxies in Fire. We will try and get this uploaded to the Legion Events app. Like I said, I've just tagged Jeff in it. But if you do ever get the chance to go over and play in Poland and meet some of the Polish guys, they're absolutely phenomenal. If you want to go out drinking, go with Mateusz. If you want to go to bed, go out with Oscar. Such is life.
No. Mateusz doesn't come out drinking. He bails as well, doesn't he?
Well, Mateusz, when he doesn't have Oscar in tow, stays out and he parties.
That said, I will say, when obviously we're all out for the night out, obviously in Chicago, you weren't girls, it's fine. But it was a big Polish presence there. I think they were probably, other than the Brits, they were the most represented nation on the night out, I think.
Yeah, though, like the Polish guys came out in good force. The Germans did well. Obviously, I missed the end of the night as Andy and Dave forcefully put me in a taxi. probably for the best.
It was only a trophy to show for it.
Boring. I mean, yeah, that's true. But, so, I came up with an idea earlier on today. that I'm actually going to make happen. But because obviously Legion Karaoke is turning into a thing now, which started in the LGT a few years ago, amidst the Germans. Oh, look what he is. He's got a bloody medal on now, hasn't he? So I'm gonna make a Spotify playlist with all of the karaoke songs that have ever been sung at any social, which includes things from Ollie like America from Razorlight. Obviously, that would be your performance.
I love a bit of Razorlight.
Jeff, you've done one. I can't remember what you did. What did you do?
Karaoke?
Yeah, you've done.
Oh, no. The world is not ready for my voice.
Is this true, girls? Can we confirm that your dad can't sing?
Because he's very bad at singing.
Okay. Well, he's not bad. He's actually pretty good, but not as good as me.
Oh, okay. Oh, challenge accepted on that.
Me and Mum are the best at singing in the house.
Can you confirm this? But yeah, anyway, so I'm going to make a playlist with all the karaoke songs that have been sung, which would be fun. Any other events anyone wishes to plug? Elliot, now's your time. You do loads of stuff in London. I would just
say,
I would consider you, I put you in the tier of community leaders. So tell us about the community, what you've got going on and what you do.
We've got one upcoming 15th of June, Bad Moon Cafe, which is if you look on Legion Events app, which is how I reminded myself of the date, it's the pin in the dead center of London, right by the river. If you fancy coming down to London for a day out, then or just to deposit your partner for a day out and buy yourself a day playing Legion, it's a good venue. Beer on tap, which is big selling point. It'll be a good time. I think that's an 18 person tournament, beginner friendly as well, if people are worried about being overtly competitive. But we obviously, our top bracket is very competitive given the London meta. That's our main one. We're going to have a few more throughout July, and then we're going to have some warm-ups before MKGT as well, so there'll be a few bigger events coming down the pipe. But always check legionevents.app. That's your best place to find out.
Look at that. He's like, practice the plug. Jeff, have you got anything you wish to plug? Stores, events?
I would just echo and just go to legionevents.app. There's loads.
Oh, that worked. And I was about to say, I was about to do a little joke about stores, events, scalp wax. I don't know, that sort of thing you can plug, but there we go. Ollie, anything else final? I mean, if I were Andy, I'd be saying, tickets for MKGT are now currently sold out. I don't know why.
Bit more nasal. If you want tickets to MKGT,
if you want tickets to MKGT, I'm afraid you can't. But my next MK Milton Keynes event will be in June.
We've already said Saturday. That. But if you want to come and see me and my 12 fingers, next MK event.
I'm going to try and make the next MK event. Given it's coming up into tournament season, I do need to make
bold of you to assume you're invited.
Did I ask your opinion? No. and I'm going to try and make just to get to that. Go on.
Listeners coming to UK Games Expo, obviously Andy is putting in a lot of effort this competitive season, TOing. So if you're coming to UK Games Expo or you're coming to MKGT, bring him a gift. He likes to eat dogs. Maybe it's a Yorkie bar that you should bring him.
Hey, that's brilliant.
He's probably not going to listen back to this episode, so he will have no idea why everybody is giving him chocolate.
I'm definitely going to Pets at Home and buying him a tin of dog food.
Show your appreciation for the work he does for the community.
Show your appreciation and shower him in dog food.
on a genuine note, if you do want to say thank you to someone else, you could just say thank you to Louisa and get her a bottle of gin or something like that.
Yeah, get her a bottle of gin.
She does all the work while he's having, and then just
punch Andy.
Yeah, there you go. It just saves her doing it, and she can just extra. There we go. But no, that's fine. But and lastly, obviously, from events, our videos wise coming up, we've got some cool videos coming out. Jack has been working on some stuff that he's been helping with painting. So obviously, Jack being the resident best painter that he is here. I believe, although that said, Ollie's won a painting award. Pretty sure Jack probably has.
Jack has won many. However, I have won the best painted at UK Games Expo. And Jeff, I hope you're prepared, because I will be winning it again.
No, you won't. No, it's not allowed.
I don't think you realise, Jeff, that the community wants you to be annoyed more than they want to see someone with a good paint job win a competition. And they will vote for me.
Have you actually painted it this time? Or are you still using borrowed models?
I've painted a portion of that army myself. And I'll be entering the entire army with the same note as last year. This army is garbage. Do not vote for this.
Yet again, proof why democracy is a sham. So yes, no, we've got some videos coming up. Jack has been working on object source lighting for models. He will see particular models in the form of Kenobi that he's been working on, and I believe one or two of Shatterpoint models, just because the size is there, so it helps with the effect. But that'll be coming out soon. Other things he's also been doing, he's going to be doing a list breakdown video. Wouldn't it be good if other people could do a list breakdown video? Like a world champion person.
Mate, honestly, I don't understand it.
Technophobe who's young, I don't know.
I'm also not from Newcastle. But
that wasn't a Geordie accent, if you like, but okay.
I mean, it's pretty close.
Yeah. I mean,
just cockles in his racist accents again.
Nah, well, it's fun.
It's fun.
Fun to do an accent. No one seems. If anyone actually genuinely wants to complain and go, please don't do that, I won't do it. But no one has, so we're all good. Moving on. So we've got some cool videos coming out. Obviously, battle reports coming out. We will have a big load of battle reports coming out when we do our Patreon play day. If you are in the, if you're based in the South, although willing to travel in general, we've got our Patreon play day at the beginning of July, which is It's the first weekend of July at Tabletop Republic. It's the Saturday, the first Saturday of July, Tabletop Republic in High Wycombe, where Holly, me, Tom, Jack will all be, and we'll be recording off of two tables, so there'll be lots of battle reports we can all get you on, and you can feature if you will. So if you've got a really cool list you want to like run against the world champion, someone who beat the world champion, someone else who's called Jack and Tom, you can try that. We've got half the spaces left, so if you fancy, rock on down. It'll be fun. Fun to see you, and share the love. We'll be getting some pizzas in. So if you come down, we'll get some food in, and it'll be fine. That's the videos coming up. If I were Andy, I'd be telling you, thanks for listening. I look forward to seeing you at UKGE. Shut up. It'd be fine. And that. But Jeff, if people want to contact you and talk to you, how can they do that? What's the best way they can do that?
I am on Discord, but it's best if you either use Facebook or the bottom of legionevents.app. I got my email address. Hit me up there.
Girls.
We've just got a dog, so don't tell Andy.
Oh, okay.
No, we haven't got a dog. We've got a dog for several years. He's just arrived.
Oh, okay. But I was about to say, we've got a dog for Andy sounded strange for a second. It's like, we have an offering for our chief. Oh, blimey, there's the dog camera. Oh, look, there it is. Oh, look, it's Andy. Andy's going to go inside. Elliot. If people are looking to have a chat with yourself, talk to you about the Legion events and or events in London, how can they do that?
Yeah, I'm on Legion Discord, a number of other Discords as well, under Smelliot. I'm very easy to find on Facebook because I post constantly in the Legion UK Facebook pages. Otherwise, get in contact with Jeff, I suppose.
pile all the admin over to him.
Yeah, we've got a very large London WhatsApp group. Where we do a lot of coordinating. So if you are in the London area, then do reach out to me. Or actually, I think a lot of members of the podcast are in the chat. Basically, everybody but Andy actually is in the chat.
The best way forward.
Is Jack in there?
No, Prouting's not actually, I don't think.
Prouting's not.
Cockles doesn't message much. Me and Tom just rip into each other.
Yeah. Tom's there, but we do ban him basically daily.
I message when I've got something I need to sort of like go, query, and then go, cheers, and then just go and read the messages much later and go, okay. But it's really good, actually, also, if you are in that area and you're looking to get in, join that WhatsApp group because you can get some tips in, as I did from when I was looking about Dark Trooper advice from people who know Dark Troopers better than me. Isn't that right, Elliot?
Yeah, it's definitely, we've got... if you are local, it's good for looking for game stuff. If you're not, we've just got a general chat, which is pretty good for people talking about rules, interactions, just general Star Wars stuff. It's and just shit talking. So
it's a bit of a balance. That's the first bomb we've had. They've truly got a PG rating there then. Ollie, if anyone wants to contact you, how can they do so? And about sponsorship, tell about sponsorship.
Ah, yes. So you can find me on Discord under CBT3-ThatsNoMoon. You can also message our Facebook page or pop me an email over. Now, I'm going to look at the email address so that I read it.
Ollie@ThatsNoMoonPodcast.com.
There we go. I will remember to check the junk folder this time. And that was something there. But yeah, so you can message us. We do still have kits. We are still providing them. They are the same cost. I'm trying to find new and inventive ways to put other things in there, as we are fresh out of dice. As I have gifted all that I have to the Legion community, and I've got nothing left.
And we also go international as well, so if you're in the United States, Australia, South Africa, New Zealand, whatever, Europe as well, wherever.
We offer free shipping to the UK and Europe with the purchase of an event kit. However, if you are further afield, we will have to charge for postage, as you know. Anything that we sell, we try and put it back into the pod. We try and put things on for the community and do things like that. And if we're losing money when we're sending out kits, it becomes no longer worthwhile for us.
Yeah, that's all good. If you want to take part in a battle report, you can email tom@thatsnowmoonpodcast.com, tom@thatsnowmoonpodcast.com, and he will gladly oblige. If you have video ideas, i.e. you want to clarify rules, or you want to have a specific paint requests, or you want to have a list building suggestion, pester Ollie, because he should learn how to bloody do it. No, we can do that. So email Tom. As that's his game and that's his jam. Or if you have any other questions and queries, you can contact me, cockles@thatsnowmoonpodcast.com. I'm also on there, Cockles Folk, Facebook, Twitter, blah, 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 all that stuff, and Discord as well. Again, shout out to our patrons and patron supporters, of which we have a couple of podcasts here now. Thank you for your support. It makes the sponsorship stuff we do, the ability to support community projects like the Legion Events.app stuff possible, obviously, and supporting of the community in general, and that makes that possible. And of course, the production of the podcast, because it costs money to do stuff like that. But so we are more than grateful for your support to those there. Don't forget, we have a giveaway going on. The giveaway announcement will be done early June, and there's some very well received comments about Jack's Airspeeder painting. So that will be given away with unit cards, if anyone's interested, because some people are like, I haven't got a card. So we'll make sure we get the cards as well. We might even try and see if we can get the special cards, because we've got alt arts. But yeah, that's the show, really. I've got nothing else to say, really, other than just sort of like...
Let's go, girls.
Come on. Thank you for listening. I don't know why I thought I'd do that. Thank you for listening. I've been Cockles. Goodbye. Alright, gonna let it all hang out. Wanna make some noise, really raise my voice. Yeah, I wanna scream and shout. You've been listening to That's No Moon, a Star Wars Legion podcast. To keep up to date with us, please like and follow us on Facebook, That's No Moon, a Star Wars Legion podcast, and Instagram, That's No Moon Podcast.